There are over 170 early middle colleges in Michigan. Dave Duggar was charged with starting the second one in Michigan, the Washtenaw Technical Middle College, established in 1997. He has consulted on the startup of multiple early middle college programs in Michigan and other states. He now is the executive director of the Washtenaw Educational Consortium Options, which includes a middle college, the Early College Alliance, at Eastern Michigan University, which he founded in 2007. Duggar is the recipient of the Dr. Sherry Wagenlander Early Middle College Lifetime Achievement Award, given to individuals who have dramatically impacted the development, leadership, growth, support, and student outcomes of early middle college efforts at both the state and national levels. Dave joins us on the Lucy Ann Lantz Show on our Ann Arbor Ypsilanti Regional Chamber of Commerce report today. Congratulations to you. This is just a wonderful accolade in a lifetime of incredible work that you have done in our educational community. Dave, what exactly is a middle college?
First of all, thank you so much, Lucy. It's great to talk with you again. And I was surprised and humbled by this award. I guess they just created it for me. I've known Sherry forever. She and I were kind of the starting people of early middle colleges. And so it really it's meant a lot. But what is an early middle college? It's a great question. We have about 170 early middle college programs or schools in Michigan now, as you said. And I think the best way to think of an early middle college is to think of it as a very intentional educational program to bridge that sort of educational space between high school and college. Most of the students who start college, community college, or four-year universities don't finish. And often the reason why that is they're just not really prepared for realities of college, because being a college student is very, very different than being a high school student. And so early middle colleges teach students how to be college students, recognizing that as much of the success in college is due to academic behaviors as much as it is to academic skill. Effective early middle colleges really teach students in both those domains so that when they move into a college setting, they can be successful, and they are successful. The research is pretty compelling that it leads to very, very substantial increases in college completion rates.
So under the umbrella of the Washtenaw Educational Consortium Options, you have several middle colleges and other kinds of schools that kind of look outside the box of, you know, the educational purview. Describe what those schools are. I understand there's a fifth one coming as well.
And there is a fifth one coming as well. So the Washtenaw Educational Options Consortium is best thought of really as a school district formed by the school districts so that all of the school districts can offer collaborative educational programming that they may themselves be might be difficult for them themselves to do it because of their size or cost or interest. And so the first one we created was the Early College Alliance at EMU. The second one is the WAVE program, which is the Washtenaw Alliance for Virtual Education. That's an online hybrid school, online and in person, primarily for kids that may be struggling in school. They might have physical disabilities that prevent them from attending school. There could be a variety of reasons why that is. It's really a countywide alternative education program. Washtenaw International High School, which a lot of people may be familiar with. It's very much a award-winning traditional kind of brick-and-mortar high school. Washtenaw International Academy, which is affiliated with Washtenaw International High School. And the fifth one will be a small middle school component of the WAVE program, because we have found that there are some middle school students that districts need to find right placements for, and a small, maybe 20, we're thinking 25, 35 kids in the first couple of years, very, very small educational program for middle school kids that's online. And it's pretty remarkable because for all intents and purposes, we started in 2007 when we opened the doors in the very first year with the ECA. We had 45 students. We had two full-time faculty members, two part-time faculty members, and two administrators. And we're now five schools, about 1,600 students, and about 150 full and part-time people. So WEAC actually educates the third most high school students in the county behind Ann Arbor and Saline.
That is incredible. What a great array of opportunities and options for these students. We're talking with Dave Duggar. He is the executive director of the Washtenaw Educational Consortium Options. Dave, how do students know about all of these options? Are they recommended? Do they seek these out?
Yeah, it's all of that. The students remain members of their school districts. I think this is one of the things that's really super important for people to understand, that this is not competition. We actually created this intentionally. So students, let's say, for example, the Early College Alliance, you have Ann Arbor Pioneer Early College Alliance students. You have Ann Arbor Huron Early College Alliance students, Ypsilanti High School Early College Alliance students. So those students remain members of their districts. They're attending a program off-site, but that student is still eligible to participate in extracurricular activities, depending on the school and the district. They can also sometimes participate in co-curricular activities. The students' test scores go back to the high school. So they're not losing the students. They're still members of their district, but they're just attending a program that's different. And, you know, there's all sorts of ways students find out about it. A lot of it's word of mouth. A lot of it is not at this point in time. There's a critical mass of students that have gone through it. School districts often have us in to sort of share these with students and families because they're options for them. Sometimes schools may actually recommend to students and families that maybe this is a better place for you, because school districts want to be able to provide options for families, because it just isn't the same environment that you and I grew up, where we went to our brick and mortar high school that was in our community, because of school of choice, because of charter schools, because of a variety of things. Parents are actually seeking out unique options for their kids. And so to be able to offer them with under the umbrella of each school district makes perfect sense for the school district. It makes perfect sense for the students and families.
How are these middle colleges funded?
So all of WEAC, the way early middle colleges are funded it varies radically depending on the community, how they've organized themselves. So I really can't speak to any general sense of how they're funded, but ultimately it's some combination of state funding that you'd get from any traditional kid would get school. We call it the base foundation allowance funding. And it could be then, there could be subsidies from the community college. There could be a variety of things. One of the things that's a little hard for people to understand is that, depending on the university, but most of the early middle college is associated with a community college. There's a few of them associated with four-year universities. But it's actually cheaper to pay for the full-time community college tuition than it is to pay for a high school teacher. And so it's actually cost beneficial to school districts, because community colleges are still funded by local community millages. So the tuition costs can be quite low. So to essentially enroll a student full-time in college, you could enroll 40 kids full-time in college, and that would still be less than it would cost to hire a full-time teacher.
So what age range are we talking about for these students?
So early middle colleges usually start anywhere from 11, and so one of the things that's unique about early middle colleges is that the federal government really highly supports them. The other thing that's also been really fascinating in this state is both sides of the political aisle in Michigan have always supported early middle college. It's something that's made sense to Republicans. It's something that's made sense to Democrats. It's something that's made sense to both Republican and Democratic governors. So we've had a lot of success building this awareness. And so the idea of sort of creating this new space, because as you know, Lucy, there's a lot of jobs out there that require post high school training, but don't require a 4-year college degree. And that's where we want people to also look at. So to be able to put these things together in high school, in college, so that kids can begin to move into career paths like welding or HVAC or things like that, while having the supports of high school, that's a really powerful model. And then the other thing that the federal government has done is it says, if you're in an early middle college, you can go to high school longer and you won't be considered an off-track graduate. So one of the kind of problems that we have in education right now is we're really time-based. And so it's like kindergarten, 12th grade, and school districts get penalized if they don't graduate a student in 12th grade. Well, that's a really perverse incentive, because it really leads to a lot of bad decision-making. Not because the school districts want to be making bad decisions, but the government just says, graduate them in 12 years.
Yeah.
And early middle colleges are like, well, we're going to stretch this process out a little bit. And we're going to, you know, think about the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th grade in a different way. So when those kids finish, they finish maybe 60 college credits and a high school diploma at the same time, to no cost to the student or the family. And that is an remarkably powerful thing.
And not a detriment to the district either.
And not a detriment to the district either.
Wow. Yeah. Dave, you mentioned some of the disciplines, but give us an idea, and maybe you can pair it up to the specific school here in Washtenaw County under this umbrella, of the kinds of programs and career paths these students can go through by attending a middle college. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you could explain maybe some of the success stories that you've had.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh, there's so many. You know, there are, we do have two in the county, Washtenaw Technical Middle College, which is a charter school. It wasn't designed to be a charter school. It was supposed to be a sort of a countywide program run by Ann Arbor, but things changed. That was long time ago, and it changed. And then there's Early College Alliance at Eastern. The Early College Alliance at Eastern, we try to focus on, it's slightly different because it's a four-year degree program. At the end of 2 years, you really don't have anything. You just kind of your general education requirements are done. And most of the kids will finish at Eastern, a lot of them, but they'll transfer everywhere from MIT to U of M to Stanford, you can name it. But we do have required that the students in that program have a slightly higher math and science requirement than would be required of a non-math or science major in college. So we're not talking about everybody's going to be a scientist, but we are talking about slightly more heavy towards math and science. At Washtenaw Technical Middle College, when we started that program, everybody there has to finish some sort of technical certification. WCC, and they have, as you know, just an incredible breadth of educational programming, from everything from computer network assurance to heating, ventilation, and cooling to graphic design to photography to a variety of things. And so a part of the graduation requirements of that program is that they have to finish some sort of technical program, from either an associate's degree or a certificate or something to that effect. I think one of the things that's, to me, still fighting this fight is, I mean, I'm at the college, I have an advanced, you know, I have a master's degree, I've done a lot in universities, could have sought my PhD out multiple times, but I'd much rather just be doing the work than doing that. But it can be very frustrating to me that people think that these careers like heating, ventilation, and cooling are something that isn't as academically rigorous or isn't as challenging. And that simply isn't true. You start looking at things like welding and HVAC and all of this. This requires high level thinking skills. It requires, in fact, in education, we have a thing called a Lexile, which is kind of, it ranks the kind of relative difficulty of reading material. And I have to say, I haven't really looked at the Lexile scores in, I don't know, a number of years, but at least 4 or 5 years ago, if you looked at pre-med education, it would be like here. That was good, but it was number two. Number one, in terms of difficulty, was heating, ventilation, and cooling.
Really?
And yeah.
Wow.
And if you looked at HVAC textbook, your head would melt. This is really complicated stuff because of, you know, everything that can go wrong, from carbon monoxide poisoning to blowing buildings up to metallurgy. I mean, it is a really highly technical field. It's not something that you can just kind of want to do. And we forgot that, right? When you and I grew up, everybody was tool and die makers and things like that. You know, we forgot that, you know, these are really, really important jobs that we have to fill. And they're not, it doesn't mean that they're less than. They are as difficult, if not more so, than, you know, getting a degree in something from a four-year university.
And the payoff can be so big as well, because it's a direct path into that.
It's a direct payoff right into the job.
Right.
In fact, one of the problems with early middle colleges, Lucy, that focus on, and a lot of early middle colleges in Michigan have this orientation of a two-year college program. And one of the biggest problems we have is employers hire them before they finish. Because, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that isn't a testimony to the fact that they're actually working,
mm-hmm.
but because employers are so, you know, desperate for trained workers, they're getting jobs before they even finish the program.
But not all the programs are based like this in early middle college. Some of them are different kinds of pathways as well, right?
Many of them have many different pathways. You know, one of the fascinating ones I worked with early on, and I would probably say it was Henry Ford Early Middle College. I would probably say it's the fourth or fifth one in Michigan. And the woman who really has kind of shepherded that program from the beginning, Dr. Marva Brooks now. Marva, what they did there was fascinating. They basically aligned their early middle college with Henry Ford with Henry Ford Hospital. So in that program, it's all healthcare stuff. And so it's radiography technician, pharmacy technician, all variety of these hospital jobs that are two-year type, you know, program jobs. So in high school, they start those career paths with internships in the hospital. It's kind of a embedded kind of experience so that they're kind of doing high school, doing college, and doing work in the hospital to see what sort of area they go into. And they literally are training themselves, and they can move right into jobs.
I wish I was a high school student again and had these kinds of options that we do today. Dave Duggar with us. He is the executive director of the Washtenaw Educational Consortium Options. He now has received the Early Middle College Lifetime Achievement Award. We congratulate him. I want to take you back, though, and I want to go all the way back to your father and his brothers.
Okay.
Because you have a very interesting story to tell our audience today, and I think it gives a perspective on who you are today and the success that you have had. Who was your father and your uncles?
So my father was All-Big Ten football player for the University of Michigan, and his brothers, his older brother and younger, both first-team All-Americans at Ohio State. And my father and his younger brother actually played against each other twice in the Michigan Ohio State game back in 53 and 54, I believe, were those years. My Uncle Dean was slightly younger. And so, you know, they were not wealthy. These were not what my father and his brothers. They were very, very poor people. And to all of them, my Uncle Jack, my Uncle Dean, and my dad, they always talked about football is really just a means of an education. That for them, it was really about getting an education, and that's how they kind of built their lives. And they all went on to do very, very successful things. And I think that they kind of imparted that into me and my sisters, this idea that education is really matters in all its shapes and forms, and that you have to be willing to sort of, step out and challenge yourself. And I feel like I've always done that professionally, and they kind of raised us to sort of have the courage to do that. So.
And your uncles went on to play professional ball as well.
Right. My Uncle Jack played pro football for the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. He also played pro basketball for one season. I can never remember the team, but I think it was like the Syracuse Nationals or the Indianapolis somethings. and my Uncle Dean played pro football for the Philadelphia Eagles for about 3 years.
And when you were
my dad, the Packers, I always thought this was a pretty funny story. He got drafted by the Packers. He went to training camp, and I'll never forget my dad saying to me, he had his MBA from Michigan in 1954, so that was actually paid almost as well as professional football then. And my dad said to me, he said, I made it in college because I was fast, tough, and smart. He said, I got to the pros. He goes, they were faster, tougher, smarter, and bigger.
So he knew where his calling was and wasn't.
He knew that that wouldn't happen.
But here are these three boys who grew up poor, who became successful, went to college, and went on to great careers afterwards. And then I understand you also moved around quite a lot because of your father's job. But there never was a sense that you couldn't do what you're doing today. I mean, you obviously you had a good path that was forged ahead by, these mm-hmm. uncles and your father. But I bring this up because so often you hear people say, that because of circumstances, growing up poor, not in the right school district or whatever the case may be, that you don't have the same opportunities other people do. And do you think today's kids do, and do programs like the Early Middle College help out the disenfranchised out there?
Well, that's such a great question, Lucy, because I know they do. One of the things that's been really important is that one of the things that we focused on is really success of all students. And we know that what it takes to be successful in college are things that everybody can learn. And some people have more experience with that because maybe their parents have been more educated or something to that effect. But if we actually teach people how to be college students, then they can access college and be successful. And so one of the things that we have received a lot of publication, even international, is that students who graduate from the Early College Alliance, which is a high school program, they graduate college at the highest rate in the state of Michigan. So they graduate college at rates of about 75%, which is about 300% higher than Michigan as an average. But white students, black students, or other, all graduate college at rates of about 75% or higher.
Wow.
So for black students, it's 700% higher than in the state of Michigan. And so these are radical changes, and they work for a variety of reasons. But when you're looking at college completion rates that are 700% higher than the state, you do have to take notice, and people do. And this is one of the reasons that early middle colleges are growing.
Then why not change over, overhaul the entire public school curriculum and the way we think of going to school today to this format?
Well, I wasn't quite ready for you to ask that question. Do you really want another half hour? I would argue yes. In fact, one of the things I think is sometimes frustrating in education, and we say it takes about 30 years for things to change. And a lot of my own philosophy on creating early middle colleges came out of a seminal piece of work by the United States government in 1994. It was about maybe 3 years before we opened Washtenaw Technical Middle College. And it really at that time received a tremendous amount of publicity. And it was called Prisoners of Time. And it was released by the National Commission on Time and Learning. And then the federal government re-released it about 25 years later and said, we had the answer 25 years ago, and we still haven't done it. Because one of the things that's unique about the American educational system, and this is really unique to American educational system, is we're time-based. We're kindergarten, 12th grade. In most of the world that we want to compare ourselves to, students do not move through the system until they demonstrate that they've mastered material. And so then they move on. So my wife is from the Netherlands. And so she and her brother finished at the same time, what you would consider college, but he's 6 years older than her.
Wow.
Because his path was slower and her path was faster, but they both finished at the same time. The American educational, and what we know is human beings do not grow in a linear way. You know this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might have kids or nephews or whatever, and I, you know, every parent can have, you know, multiple kids, and they'll have one 16-year-old that says, I wish that kid would chill out. They act like they're 40. And they'll have another 16-year-old that says, I wish that kid would grow up. They act like they're 7.
Right.
But they're both 16. And the educational system says, this happens to you at 16. Whether or not you're more than ready for it, not ready for it, at 16, that happens. And that only happens in America. And so Prisoners of Time said, let's rethink time. Let's not do this. Let have the fast runners run. Let the slow runners have more time. It's not about when you finish. It's about what you do. And so we have kind of created this own mess for ourselves. It's really hard for us to break out of it. But early middle colleges are kind of an attempt to do that a little bit differently and get an extra year. You have a little bit different orientation of how it works. And so, you know, there is some of that that's happening. But, it, you know, one of the things that we also do is we hold back really, really smart kids. That was another report that came out at that point in time called A Nation Deceived, because really gifted kids can also be super constrained by the system. And so we want the fast runners to run. And so we've had two students graduate at the age of 16, one at MIT as a sophomore. The other graduated from our program, perhaps the most talented student I'll ever see in my life. And we had already dual enrolled him in half of the PhD math classes at the University of Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah, they admitted him as an undergraduate and a PhD student at the same time.
Incredible.
Because he had self-taught himself calculus when he was like in 6 or something like that. He had a perfect score on the he was 5 points shy of a perfect score on an SAT, and the school district said to him in 8th grade, well, you're 14, you take algebra 1. The school district had no capacity to deal with a 14-year-old that was doing PhD level math.
So these programs then, they are beneficial to both the overachiever and to those that need more help.
Oh yeah, they can completely flex to meet the needs of, you know, every student.
Incredible.
And so they slow down, they speed up, and that's because we don't want the system to imprison the student in terms of time.
Yeah.
And this is not at any level saying anything negative about my colleagues and all my friends in public education. They're well aware of this time constraint.
Right.
They understand that this is a very problematic thing. And so we do have a little bit more flexibility in early middle colleges to be able to play with time in a very different way. And that's sort of what we do.
Incredible. David Duggar, great talking with you today. Executive Director of the Washtenaw Educational Consortium Options. These lessons he learned almost 5 decades ago, becoming an educational goldmine for our students here in Washtenaw County and throughout Michigan. And for more information, you can go online to weoc.info. That's weoc.info. I'm Lucianne Lance, and this has been our Ann Arbor Ypsilanti Regional Chamber of Commerce report today. You can visit a2ychamber.org for more information about the chamber and its members. This is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.